Welcome to Parents' Perspective. School would start in just a few days, and 10-year-old David's room was a mess. His mother finally informed him that he wasn't to leave the house until his room passed her inspection. After about an hour, he emerged grinning and beckoning. "Want to take a look?" His floor was clean, his clothes were put away, and his mom could see his desktop for the first time in months. There was, however, a pile of debris in the doorway. "What's all this?" she gestured. "Oh," David announced, "when I cleaned off my desk, that stuff had to go somewhere." From a parent's perspective, how can we give our children organizational skills without giving ourselves ulcers? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, our guests will help us focus on helping our children acquire their own organizational skills. Kim Weyer is a registered nurse with an 18-year-old son and a 21-year-old daughter. She and her partner developed their consulting firm, Organized Living, to help parents and children become better organized. We're glad to have you with us, Kim.
Hi. It's so nice to be here.
Valerie Weinbrenner is also a registered nurse and has a daughter who's a senior in college and a son who is a freshman. She and her partner have been helping families with organized living for the past 4 years. Welcome, Valerie.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Kim, how do parents know when a child needs help with organization?
Valerie and I feel it's important to realize that your child is going to need to be exposed to the skills of organization. It's progressive, similar to reading. You know your child is going to need to learn how to read. So it's better to start developing those skills sooner rather than later.
Why do kids have trouble being organized?
There isn't really any one sign of disorganization, but rather a cluster of signs that parents need to be alert for. If you find that you're sending your child out the door in the morning and either you or your child is screaming, agitated, or that last-minute rush that we all know, if you find that's happening on a consistent basis, the rush to get their items that they need to begin the day, that's one sign that they may need some help with organization. If your child is not handing in, say, their homework assignments on time, and yet you know that they have done the homework, they may need some help with the transfer of maybe the papers from their backpack to school or making sure that they have their papers in their backpack in the morning. Another indicator would be when you give your child the responsibility of getting ready on time for a certain activity, maybe an athletic practice, a soccer practice, or church. You find that they have the time and they aren't able to manage their time adequately so that they can be ready for the event. A lot of us adults don't do that very well.
That's right.
So that's an indication your child may need some help. Obviously, losing items, that they go to a friend's house and leave a lot of their items over there and don't retrieve them. That one always really bothered me about my children. And if you find the missing papers, missing clothing, that's a sign that maybe they need some help.
I would say 90% of parents hearing this are going to say, aha, this sounds awfully familiar.
We all have some of these behaviors from time to time, but if you find it happening consistently.
We know someone who had his preschooler show up at preschool for, I would say, maybe a month or 2 months. In the preschool would show up in pajamas.
In pajamas.
Right, ready to go. This is not like Hugh Hefner pajamas. Pajamas.
They need help.
Right. The final indication might be, in general, an unorderly notebook, a messy, disorganized room. And yet we know that we all have times when our notebooks and our desks are disorganized. But if you find that linked with other behaviors that I mentioned earlier, the last-minute scurry, you have to realize that those kids that are disorganized have never been taught the skills. That's what we find with adults. There are adults that have never been taught or taken the time to learn the behaviors. And that's why we as parents need to stop and take the time to role model and mentor for them. It's more understandable for kids to be disorganized because they just haven't had the time. They haven't had the life experiences to draw from and make mistakes and learn from them. And we do find today parents aren't around as much as they used to be. So therefore, our children have added responsibilities sooner in life.
Valerie, what do you do with a child whose room looks really messy, but who says, "Don't touch anything. I know where all my stuff is." Do you leave him alone with the system or do you try to get him in some kind of order?
We hear that very frequently from people who tend to be messy and disorganized. They will, you know, say, "Ask me where something is," and we can find it. The question that you need to address to them is, how long does it take you to find it? And all those wasted minutes trying to retrieve an item that could have been readily accessible if maybe they had put it in the right location, in the right spot. So the answer to that question from our perspective is, you certainly don't want to project your own ideas of organization onto your child, because everyone has a different way of organizing. And you don't want to be rigid. You want to allow for some flexibility and let the child develop his own system. But we really believe that it's a disservice for parents if they don't teach children organizational skills, because these same children who have messy rooms growing up, and that's allowed to continue, will have messy desks and messy work environments. And we really believe that messy, disorganized environments lead to cluttered, disorganized, chaotic minds. So we do try to emphasize that it is important to teach kids some skills of organization, but kind of temper that with some flexibility and some, you know, realization that kids are kids. And, of course, their rooms are going to be not as neat and clean as, you know, we might want them to be. But that, you know, it is important to teach them the skills. This is a kind of a funny story. We had gone and helped a mother organize her work files, and she loved the system. I mean, she was very into it, and she loved the whole system. She found it extremely effective. So she went home, and without telling anybody about it, she reorganized all her husband's files went into her teenage daughter's room organized all of her things. Well, the husband was ecstatic. He loved the whole system. She taught him the system, and he found it very helpful. As you can imagine, the teenage daughter was extremely upset. And, you know, that brings us to another point, is you do have to respect your kids' boundaries and privacy, and you don't want to be going in and reorganizing their messy rooms without their permission, especially if we're talking about older age children who really, you know, have some issues with individuality and wanting to be more independent.
For a house to be organized, does it mean there's no clutter?
In general, clutter is a visual sign of disorganization. And Valerie and I have a definition of clutter. See if you can relate to this. Clutter represents postponed decisions. And that's really it in a nutshell. Another important point to make about organization is that it's not cleaning or straightening. When Valerie and I are hired by an employer to come in and help his employees organize their workspace, before we give our seminar, we walk in and people are sitting around placing their papers on their desk in a very orderly fashion. We see them blowing the dust off their desk and flicking it with their wrists, because in general, people think that organization is cleaning or straightening. And we all know that you can have a very straight and clean house and it not at all be organized. The principles that apply to an organized home are identical to those that apply to an organized office or a desk or a child's notebook or an organized playroom. And I have a couple concepts of organization that I'd like to give to you. One is that every item has an assigned place, and every family member needs to know what that designated place is. Then the organization will stay in place much longer. Items need to be easily retrieved and returned. So when you say to Sally, "I see your socks on the floor," you know they go in your sock drawer. There needs to be a place that you and Sally have predetermined is a place where her socks go, and that will keep that drawer organized. One family that we worked with that was very financially secure, should I say, they had a lot of support within the family. They had several housekeepers, a gentleman that was outside tending to the garden needs. Children were somewhat in daycare, and then this other person operated as a nanny. And the mother was very upset because the kids did not know how to be organized and take care of their living space. And after Valerie and I went in and did our assessment, it was obvious. They were not a part of it. The housekeeper did all of the picking up the laundry from the floor, cleaning it, and putting it back. So the children need to be involved in their organization. Another concept is that items of similar function need to be grouped together and separated so they don't get mixed up. How many times I mean, we can count on our hand how many times people say, but I just organized my desk drawer and it's not organized anymore. Because once you jar the drawer open, if your pencils aren't segregated from your paper clips and the rubber bands, they're all going to get mixed up together. And that's what a dresser is. It's a huge container that keeps our underwear separated from our socks. And that will help your children get organized if indeed there are containers and separators in each container. We need to only buy or accept items that we really need and will use. So ask yourself, does my family really need this item? Valerie and I teach people the one in, one out rule. If you buy 5 new pairs of socks, 5 go out. And my family teases me about this one because Valerie and I are very good about labeling, to the point where my silverware drawer has got long forks, short forks, teaspoons, and tablespoons. But that helps your children know when they unload the dishwasher, which they should be doing, where things go. And it will keep the drawer organized so you don't have to funnel through it to find where the long forks are. And it will help them learn when they do unload the dishwasher that things need to go in the right place. Organization can and should be fun, especially where your children are concerned. You want this to become a pattern, one that you slowly introduce to your child gradually until the skills become second nature. We have a whistle while you work theory where you say to your child, we're going to have so much fun today. We're going to spend some time organizing your playroom, and we're going to turn the music up real loud, and mom's going to be with you the whole time. Children love to be with their parents and know that they have their total attention. And plan on a reward afterwards, after you're done organizing. Say we're going to sit and read that favorite book that you want to read. This can be fun, and it should be fun, because when we talk about, when we tell adults that we're organizers, they go, oh, yuck. What a terrible job. And it's because they have these past negative feelings about organization. And it is fun.
What kinds of organization skills can be fostered in preschoolers
besides cleaning the playroom?
A simple and easy place to start is with their laundry, in that as long as your child is involved in, this is the laundry basket, you've got a predetermined place where clothes that have been worn or are soiled go in this basket, and then somebody can do the laundry. Preschoolers are too young to obviously be introduced to that skill. And then when the laundry basket comes back into their room for a while, the mom and the child, the dad, older sibling, whoever, helps the youngster replace the items back into their drawers. That's a very simple concept, but it is something that preschoolers can learn, and it teaches them that things have a place. I have my own personal space. I need to take ownership of it and take care of it, because that's what I mentioned earlier about items in our house. Every single item in your house has to be cleaned, has to be cared for, and that all takes time. So we want our preschoolers to learn those concepts at an early age. The playroom is an area where we have been hired to come in and help families set up, the mothers call, an organized playroom. One family, this mother had 2 young children, and she was pregnant with her third. And she said, I'm feeling overwhelmed. We're breaking toys. We're stepping on them. The playroom is a mess. And before this baby comes, I want this room to get organized. So we knew at that point that the children need to be involved. But what Valerie and I did before we came to the house, we did an assessment, but we purchased large, colorful crates. And because these children were non-readers, we took a Polaroid camera and took pictures of each item that was to go in the crate, say the puzzles. This is labeling, but using
labeling.
It, identifying it by pictures, the crayons, the books, so that the children could visually see where the items went, and they could then be responsible for cleaning up the room. And once we put the system in place and educated the mother, we weren't able to do the children because they weren't there, the mother called back and said, it's working. It's great. The children thought it was fun, and it was colorful, and it was new, and every item had a place.
And was matching. They could do matching.
And it was,
That's great.
Could do matching. So yeah. It was a very valuable lesson for those preschoolers.
Got them prepared for their SATs.
That's right. Moving up the age scale in terms of elementary school children's organizational needs, Valerie, what would you say those would be?
Well, once school comes into the picture, there's a lot of organizational needs that also have to be addressed, and it becomes a great opportunity once again to teach your children some of the skills of organization. With school, we know comes lots of homework, activities, lots of papers. And so those are all areas that we can start addressing our children's needs. One of the things that we have found when we're summoned to a family that's having a difficult time in the morning, they call it AM rush, is getting out of the door in a relaxed, less stressful way. And so this is when we start teaching some time management skills and a concept that we call backtracking, which basically is a very simple concept. Everyone, when you tell them about it, say, oh, yeah. But so few people use it. And you can introduce this idea in very young children. For example, let's say they know that they have to go to the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning. By backtracking all the things that they have to do that morning before they step out the door, for instance, it's going to take 15 minutes to get dressed, brush my teeth. It's going to take 20 minutes to sit down and eat breakfast. It's going to take maybe 10, 15 minutes to organize my books and supplies. It's going to take another 5 minutes to pack my lunch. We can teach the child what time they have to wake up in the morning so that they'll get out the door at 8 o'clock. And it's a very valuable concept, and it's a very valuable concept for kids to learn at a young age so that when they're adults, they're not always late for appointments or stressed out when they have to do last-minute things. And kids readily catch on to this idea.
Well, it's sort of neat because in math class at some point, I don't know exactly when, they try to teach them estimation. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of the beginning
exactly.
of that, which is kind
exactly.
of neat.
Another concept that we need to teach children is being prepared. And that comes up a lot with assignments that have to be done in the future or homework that is, you know, not due until maybe a couple of days later. And we have to teach our children that, you know, to postpone some of the work on these projects is just going to lead to stress once the project is due. So preparation is a key ingredient to organization. And, you know, you can certainly prepare your lunches the night before, get your book bags ready the night before, have them readily accessible, ready to walk out the door. And all those things allow the child to leave their home that morning in a more calm, less stressed way, which we find is, you know, very healthy for children. Going on to all the paperwork that the child suddenly has in his possession once they start school, we do like to teach the concepts of paper management, and we use the 4 D's. And we find that children can relate to this just as well as our adult clients can. And the 4 D's stand for do now, do later, delegate, and discard. And so, for instance, just giving an example, a child comes home from school and he's got, you know, 10 pieces of paper in his book bag. Teaching them to go through each piece of paper and mentally go through these steps of how to handle the paper, like do now. He knows that he has to do this math assignment tonight for tomorrow. Do later would be something that he might put in a container or some kind of a file system for something that he needs to work on later, like a project that's due in a week or in a month, etc. Delegate are those pieces of paper that, like permission slips. Hey, Mom, this is something you need to take care of. So he gets rid of that piece of paper by delegating it. And then discard. There's lots of papers that don't even pertain to him. Like if it's mail, you know, if it's something about Girl Scouts, he's going to discard that piece of paper. So it helps children manage their papers so that their, you know, their papers aren't always in their book bag or all over the kitchen countertop. They have a system for handling all their papers.
I need to do that with my mail instead of putting it in a basket in the closet when the company is
coming. Exactly. This system works very well with mail. You just get your piece of mail, open it up, and decide what you're going to do with it.
Kim, adolescents are a totally different category, as we've already mentioned. What are the biggest organizational issues they face?
As we all know, adolescents not only have the influence of school in their life, they still have family responsibilities, but it's their social sphere that begins to increase. And many times they also have started employment outside of the home. So it becomes a time management balance. We find adults that don't have a balance. So for parents of adolescents, you need to look at yourself and role model good balance in your life. Another solution that we feel is important and that we talk to families about is developing a family calendar, a large calendar that's posted in a central location, and every family member write on it their schedules, athletic activities, their church activities, PTA meetings. One of the families that we worked with came up with their own idea of having each family member have a different colored pen that designated their specific activity. So mom had a certain colored pen, dad had a different one, Sally and brother had a whole different colored pen, and it really worked very well that they could each identify each other's tasks.
Valerie, often parental help in these areas backfires because children feel we're encroaching on their independence. Are there some ways that we can quietly sort of set the stage for organizational behaviors to work?
One of the key ingredients here is parents have to be role models. They have to set the example. Children do definitely learn by what they see. And if they have parents who are organized and making their appointments on time and, you know, not procrastinating, that is a simple way to teach children without really encroaching on their space. Another thing that we as parents can do is to make sure that we create an environment that will facilitate our child to be organized. You know, have supplies ready, have files ready, have containers ready, have a quiet space where the child can do their homework, have rules and regulations about, you know, when is quiet time, how much TV watching is allowed, because that's what's going to foster organization.
When are the times children most often backslide with organizational skills? You feel like you finally managed to teach them something, and then it's disappearing.
Like anyone else, everybody backslides, and your children will backslide as well. It's expected, it's normal, and it's important to remember that it's temporary. And you find it in times of stress, and yet our society is so full of stress, that's why it's important to anticipate it and know that it's okay, and for you as the parent to not go ballistic. That's not helpful. We want our children to learn flexibility. And again, that's another technique they need to see demonstrated in their parents. We all backslide with the organization of our desk or our room. And that's why it's very important to have a system in place, a pre-planned system. That's why it's good to get it started now so that when those times of stress happen, our house, our desk, their notebooks will tolerate it. It's not the end of the world. And when things settle down, they can pull back in and start the behaviors of organization once again.
If parents are sort of up to their eyebrows and really need some professional help like yours, where would they look?
Most Yellow Pages do have a section entitled Organizing Services, Household Business Type Services. In fact, Kim and I are located in the Yellow Pages, and that's how a lot of our clients come to us. They also might want to investigate the internet and, you know, key in some words relating to organization. There is a National Association for Professional Organizers, and they might be able to direct you to the people that specialize in that area.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'd like to thank both of you, Kim and Valerie, for helping us proceed in an orderly way to gather tips on helping our children and ourselves become better organized. Our gift for caller number 2 on our listeners' poll is supplies for a child's birthday party. Everything you need but the food. Call 1-800-791-8573 to answer the question coming up next. In your house, what has been your toughest organizational task?
We'd like to send you the free party supplies. For other comments or questions, you can also reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email at parentspur@aol.com. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.